Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state Queensland, its capital Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things, and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
And a great day to you. I don't want to say good day. I want to say a great day to you. And welcome to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. I'm Brian Thomas. It's a pleasure to be with you and to be the host of the program today. Our co-host, Richard Butler, he's going to join us in just a little bit. And let me give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about today. Richard, as you may recall, spent some time over in Vanuatu, which he does quite regularly. And he sent me some pictures and a video of some of the people that he spoke with. And we're going to talk about that on the program today. We're also going to bring back Andreas. You may recall Andreas from South Africa to Australia, finally landing in Vanuatu. He is exporting somewhere in the vicinity of 50 different products out of Vanuatu around the globe. Andreas joins us on the program today. We're also going to be talking about some real estate in the Sydney, Australia area. Richard tells me that the prices are just skyrocketing. So prepare yourself. Strap yourself down. Grab pencil and paper and take copious notes as we begin to start Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Would you like $800 per day rental from your investment property? Well, in booming Vanuatu in the South Pacific, we have fully absolute waterfront furnished beachfront three-bedroom bungalows that you can buy from only $399K. And yes, $800 per day rental return. And from only $399K full price. Finance is available up to 100%. If you have sufficient home equity, conditions apply, and it will pay itself off. On 65% occupancy, and you can use it for a month or a year. And you can use it as a holiday home as well. Contact Richard now at 61-417-007792. 417-007792. That's 417-007792. Call now.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. Let's bring the players in for today. Our studio producer, as always, hailing from Costa Rica, or should I say Toronto? Either way. He's in Costa Rica right now. He's the person that makes sure that the program sounds the very best each and every week for you, Corey Coates. And in Sydney today, man, this guy just travels the globe, or at least his sphere of the globe, is Richard Butler, real estate developer and a trade commissioner of Vanuatu in the Sydney, Australia area. And Queensland, to be a little bit more broad when we say that. And Richard is joining us right now. So good day to you, Richard. I think it's probably early morning where you are. And as I speak here in Massachusetts, it is coming on the evening hours.
Well, good morning, good evening, and great to hear you so chirpy this morning here in, from Australia. And of course, we're getting rid of winter down here. I was telling you in the break that we're now seeing the sun a little bit earlier in the morning. And recently, I was in Vanuatu, which you touched on Malekula Island, swimming at 6:30 in the morning. And we'll talk about that later. Absolutely beautiful it was. It's just a drop-dead gorgeous place. And having a whole beach to yourself at 6:30 in the morning. Not the only footprints in the sand were my own, which is absolutely wonderful.
We're going to talk about that in just a bit. But you know what? I was reading in the papers the other day, and you keep on echoing this, that the real estate in the Sydney, Australia area just keeps on climbing and climbing and climbing. What's going on?
Well, you know, Brian, can you cast your mind back 12 months for a moment? And do you remember me this time last year talking to you and saying when we had the change of government in Australia that my forecast would be that the property prices would escalate enormously? Well, that we did have a change of government. We had the Tony Abbott government come into power, and he's been over in America, and they've really got a high profile now, the Australian government, throughout the world. But we've had our real estate market in Sydney just boom. And I always talk about the auctions, you know, at the beginning of the show, because that's a good barometer, you know, for people to sort of work out what's happening in this part of the world anyway. Now, Sydney had a clearance rate last week of 75.9%. Melbourne came in with 66%, Adelaide 62%, Canberra, the national capital, came in at 53%. Brisbane fell down a bit to 44%. I don't know why that is. I'll find out. And, the other areas, Adelaide and Perth, but what's actually happened is that Australian household debt has hit a 25-year high. Everybody's buying real estate down here. And the average loan, amount down here is $433,960. Most people have made $100,000 or more if they bought a house 12 months ago or they own a house 12 months ago in Australia, in Sydney itself.
So
amazing.
What you're saying is Sydney, Australia, once again, is a very, very good buy. We're going to find out about some good buys coming out of Vanuatu when we come back. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares. You could have invested in Google. You could have bought gold 3 years ago. But did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation, and now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. One cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit-outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood, a hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it, and we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-classed licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 61417007792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61417007792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417007792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. In just a little bit, Andreas and some of his exports out of Vanuatu. But Richard Butler and I are talking, and we're talking to you about Melakula Island. And Richard was there not too long ago. And Richard, you've brought back some interesting pictures. I love the view. The view is stunningly gorgeous. But there's more than just view when we talk about Melakula, and that's affordability.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's one of the key parts of our business acumen is that we're a niche market organization, and in our marketing have been, you know, since 1980. And we always used to work on the basis that we would provide a good value and be able to sell it in multiples. And the Melakula development is basically an agricultural investment development. And we've just, stage one, as you know, I spoke to you about it going back in March. We sold out 57 lots in stage one over a period of about 90 days. And that was our first stage. And now we've just released our second stage. So I was over there in Vanuatu for 8 days, which incidentally in Vanuatu today, it's Independence Day. It's 34 years since 1980 when they received their independence from being ruled by a link or a joint link between the French and the English in managing what was then called the New Hebrides. And they actually started jointly running the New Hebrides from 1910. They ran it for 70 years for all intents and purposes. They did a pretty good job, I suppose. And remembering this was pioneering going back into 1910. This is, you know, the churches were in there, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Roman Catholics. They all had their church being represented. They have the Catholic schools, the French schools, educating. And now, today, it's 34 years of independence. Vanuatu has had a very good transition from being run by these two countries to running their own parliament, which is styled along the Westminster system. And they have two parties. They've had every 3 years they have their general elections, which go off without too many problems. There's a lot of argy-bargy between the politicians, as there is in America and the UK. That's that's free speech and the freedom that comes with democracy. So we're very proud to say, happy birthday, Vanuatu, today, and have a great Independence Day. But going back to Melakula and the Melakula farmlets, which we've released the next stage at $11,950 for a farmlet with 400 red Hawaiian pawpaw trees planted on it. This farm sits on the most magnificent piece of land that runs right the way down to the water. And the beach is beautiful. Every time you turn around a corner on that island, there's another view, there's another aspect, there's another village with people. It's just, I came back extremely happy that I'd spent the time over there. And look, I haven't sent you the video. I sent you the video of me swimming on the beach at 6:30 in the morning. And the water temperature was just, it was 22 degrees in the middle of winter. I mean, you know, like, middle of summer, it's 28, 30, 32. The water was lukewarm. It was absolutely beautiful to swim in at 6:30 in the morning. I was the only person on the beach. I took a video of it, sent it off to all my clients and my friends.
Wait, you took a selfie of you in the water?
Well, no, actually, I have to tell you this, that I had a nudie swim. So I had the camera in front of me because there's no one on the beach. So I just dropped my gear and went straight into the water, and I had the camera, and I'm behind the camera. Thank God, not in front of it, not a selfie. It would have frightened everybody away. But you know, it was me in paradise in my birthday suit at 6:30 in the morning, and I loved it. You know, I had a swim every morning. I was there at 6:30 in the morning. I went down and had a swim every morning, and then in the afternoon. Justin, our director over there of South Pacific Plantations, he took me down to the beautiful freshwater creek river that comes down off the mountains, and I had a swim in that. Went down with my shaving gear and had a shave and brushed my teeth, and I was wearing a bathing suit in there because there was other people around, but just, you know, having a swim in this. In this magnificent fresh water, and then what we did is we went a bit further upstream, and we had our water bottles, and we filled our water bottles with fresh water from Malekula, and you know, nothing involved in the water, no fluoride, just magnificent water for drinking, and it was just so natural. And then of course
you see that because I'm thinking you are swimming in salt water, but come to find out now you're actually swimming in fresh water over there. Are there lots of freshwater tributaries into the Pacific?
This is a great rainfall area. You know, you get up in the rainforest, the water's coming directly out of the rainforest, so you can call it rainforest water. But I was swimming in the salt water as well as the freshwater creeks that are there as well. And of course, you know, the other thing that I have to share with you too, the taste of food over there is it's all organic. And our particular project that we're doing there, the Malekula farmlets with growing the red Hawaiian papaya, or as we call it in the South Pacific, pawpaw trees. They'll be organic, and one of the things that Andreas is going to be on the show is, Andreas is going has yesterday and about a week or 2 weeks ago, has agreed to be our agricultural consultant, and he actually also is the advisor to the Prime Minister of Vanuatu with agriculture, and he is an amazing resource of information that. It's just such an assistance to the development that we're doing. And when I had a meeting with him yesterday and asked him to come back on the show because he was talking to me about how many lines of product that he's actually exporting out of Vanuatu. And we've quite often spoken about what do you do when you go to Vanuatu? What sort of job are you going to... Well, you've got to be a self-starter. I mean, there's no point going to Vanuatu, to be very frank. I have to tell you this, I'm sorry. If you're not a self-starter, you should stay where you are. You have to be a self-starter and get out and want to do things and talk to people and meet people. And the expat community will work with you, as it probably does everywhere in the world. You know, I mean, I came from New Zealand to Australia, and there was an expat community of Australia, of New Zealanders here. And we used to group together. And then gradually, as you've sort of been there for a while, you start to make more circles of friends, and you expand away from your initial core group. And that's what happens in Vanuatu as well when you relocate or retire or move for whatever reason. You know, a lot of people just move to get away from the cold winters. I remember last winter you telling me how freezing it was where you were, and I was in Vanuatu at the time experiencing a 22-degree day. So, I understand moving away from...
I was experiencing a 22-degree day, though, but the difference is 22 degrees Fahrenheit is cold. 22 degrees Celsius is entirely different ballgame.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And we're much more, you know, in a warmer climate, you seem to be much more relaxed and at ease with yourself. In a winter climate, you seem to be... You got to put that jacket on, the jumper, the scarf, the football socks, the shoes, the boots, you know. And you know, in Vanuatu, you get up, I was wearing just a, you know, I've got this set of Hawaiian shirts. You've probably seen me in the photographs with them. I love the Hawaiian shirts. And, you know, just the shorts, the light shorts, and a pair of moccasins or slip-on shoes. And that's standard wear in the tropics, you know, when you don't have a winter. You never see anybody wearing a jumper. I don't remember seeing anybody in Vanuatu ever wearing a woolen jumper. I can't remember one. Maybe a light little cardigan, but never a jumper. You'd throw away any leather coats. Don't bring leather coats to Vanuatu. You'll never wear them. You'll never wear them at all. Yeah.
That's fine by me. Going back to Melakula, you said the agricultural project. Is Melakula Island primarily for agriculture, or is it also a residential zone?
Well, Melakula is about the second largest island in the group, and it's really got about 25,000 people, residents that live on it. That mainly is the what we call Nivan, which is the man of the land, the local native population, 25,000, and the government has recognised that they're starting to get tourism working quite well. Now they want to get agriculture working. And they're very pleased to be able to steer people towards investing into agricultural in Vanuatu. We could be a food bowl down there. So really, it's becoming an agricultural island. And there's some big plantations there. They're growing cocoa. I mean, Andreas is the expert on cocoa. And we've got sandalwood. We've got copra and cattle. And of course, you know,
what would be the attraction for an expat to want to live on Melakula as opposed to Afeti, where Port Vila is?
Well, I would say someone who likes to sort of have their own sort of little kingdom. You know, you could go to Melakula and you could buy a larger farm or something like that, and you know, if you were a farmer type person. I mean, there's two types of people in the world. There's the people who live in the city and the people who don't live in the city. And there's a large number of people who like living in the country and living on acreage and farms and animals. So if you like that quieter and you want to be away from the hustle and the bustle of the city, well, then, you know, you would go to Melakula. And we'll be offering shortly, maybe another 4, 5, 6 months, maybe in that time frame, we'll be offering some small acreages for people to buy from us over there, because we've got our bulldozer. We bought a bulldozer, and that's going over in the barge in the next days to Melakula. And so we'll be building roads over there and putting some subdivisions in for some acreage blocks.
And we'll talk about that, and we also have Andreas coming up. By the way, if you'd like to contact Richard, his email address is Richard@PacificHavenResort.com. Website, PacificHavenResort.com. Program, Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Network, ORN.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the Overseas Ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
As the program expands, just like the time does in the seasons of the year, this is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. As you know, we've been in the United States, Costa Rica, and Australia. Now we
Are we staying in Australia here, or are we going over to Vanuatu? We're staying in Australia. Okay, but a different part of Australia. As we bring Andreas into the program, as you recall, he was with us a few weeks back, and his name is Andreas Lombardozzi, and he is huge. I mean, big. I mean, mucho. When it comes to exporting product out of Vanuatu, out of the Republic of Vanuatu. So first, Andreas, welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific.
Thank you, Brian. Much appreciated. I feel slightly intimidated after that introduction, but I'll give it a go.
Well, we're not letting you go home. Oh, you are there. I'm sorry. But be that as it may, we're going to talk about some of your exports. I think the best way to start about that is to say, how did you get into what we would call import-export?
For me, the real motivation started many, many years ago, because I'm really keen in terms of the fair trade, the ethical trade side of things, and to really, the core question that arose in my mind was, we've put a man on the moon, we can map DNA, but somehow in terms of our trade structures, the people that grow our food don't necessarily get a good deal. And so for me, it was an interest to have a look at what is the structural issues in terms of global trade that just doesn't allow us to seem to get to a better system that allows everybody to benefit. 50% of the world's smallholder growers are poor. So, I landed up in Vanuatu, in a small country. It's an amazing place. Lots of agriculture. 80% of the population is rural, they work the land, and, as anybody will tell you, it's the most beautiful place in the world. So it just allowed me to engage in one of my passions and basically started learning about what was available in Vanuatu, and really coconut and cocoa and beef. And so we started 15 years ago and looked at what we could do to improve systems. And, since then it's grown tremendously, and we do a lot of bulk exports. We do a lot of value-add product. And then we also do retail. We have a retail brand, Marie Coconut, where we sell coconut oil products and, skincare products made from coconut oil.
My wife, Andreas, is a typical lady who's very, very interested in her lotions and potions. I'm also very interested in the tamanu tree. Do you work with the tamanu tree oil as well? Do you do anything with that?
Yes, we do. I mean, I think that tamanu is one of the undiscovered products of the South Pacific. It is basically the skin elixir of the South Pacific. It's an amazing product, and we have it under our brand as well. We bring it out from Malekula. It's actually pressed in Malekula by Bruce Hannett, a longtime resident of Vanuatu. And this tamanu oil is really gaining a lot of credibility as an exfoliator for the skin. Bit like rosehip oil. Most customers might know rosehip oil. That's become very famous in terms of its potential to heal scarring and heal the skin. And tamanu has very similar characteristics to that. A bit more traditional and pungent smell, but beautiful oil, beautiful product. And I think we actually have a few of those. We blend. We do a blend. We do a body oil blend.
And
we have
also soaps. Nui does. All right. Well, I'll have to go onto your website and check that all out. So the website is Nui Coconut, or what is the website that will have all those listed?
Yeah,
on
that's
it?
Right. NuiCoconut.com. NuiCoconut.com. And you'll find the tamanu oil there. You'll find our soaps. They are handmade. They're very traditional made. They have a lot of the moisturizing qualities of a traditional soap in them. We have our coconut oil for food. We have our coconut oil for skin. We have a raw chocolate there now, which we know is very healthy. We have a couverture there for cocoa couverture for the best hot chocolate. So there's a lot of choices on there. I think we carry around about 50 products all together.
Andreas Lombardozzi is our guest today. You heard the company. It is Nui coconut. You know, I'm curious because I'm a home-based business operator. I'm wondering if any of the people that you export to happen to be in the direct selling home-based business line or network marketing, multi-level marketing line. Would you happen to know that?
Well, we've had a try into the United States, but it was quite difficult for us initially because simply it was a volume based, and you know Vanuatu is a small place, so we had to grow accordingly, and so we grew mostly in Australia, and now we've exported more and more into actually Asia, and we're looking forward to a launch in the UK. And into China this year still. So it's an exciting time for us in terms of that growth. In America, it's been limited for us because we bring it into Australia. From Australia, we create the product and then shipping it to the United States. So it's been a difficult challenge for us to get into the U.S., but we are always looking for partners. And we had an idea of, you know, using home-based distribution one-on-one to actually get the product in and create little depots around the United States. You know, we all, as you know, as a small business owner, we're always looking to how to innovate the distribution. So we're always open to hear from people who are keen to distribute product in the United States or any other country.
Well, yes, and I certainly appreciate that. One of the things that's great about this program and the Overseas Radio Network is we don't just talk to people here in the United States, and so that direct selling, network marketing, multi-level marketing distribution chain is certainly huge in Australia, South Korea. Yep. It is now booming in China. So I don't mean to limit it only to the United States, but for those that may be listening in some of these other countries that have some type of experience or maybe want to get that experience, this certainly would be a great way for them to start. If you're talking about some, you know, you're taking some of your things and turning them into, it seems, not only mouth-oriented organic products, but body lotions and whatnot. That's
absolutely, yeah. Look, I totally agree with you, Brian. That's a good call. I mean, from our point of view, it's very easy to step into distribution because we can duplicate the website on a very local or regional basis for any of our customers who want to look at doing some distribution. So it's not a, there's no great expense in starting a distribution in any country. So, and we're getting better at what we're doing. You know, we're getting more dedicated to the brand. Initially, it was part of a vertically integrated system, and now the brand is really starting to take off. As coconut oil is really starting to boom, the health benefits of coconut and cocoa and raw product is really starting to boom. So it's a fantastic time for anybody in the food or the skincare industry or sector that wants to look at some distribution of new product into their country. Always looking forward to hear from them. It'd be fantastic.
And one of the things that I'd like to bring in there, if I may, one of the things I'd like to bring in.
Richard, hold on 1 second. And the best way for them to contact you, Andreas, would be how?
Best way would be email. And my email is Andreas, which is A-N-D-R-E-A-S, at African Pacific. That's the name of our holding company is African Pacific. So that's AfricanPacific.com.
Gotcha. All right. Sorry to cut you off, Richard. Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to bring in was one of the things that we're doing with the Malekula pawpaw or papaya, of course, is one of the byproducts of that is the pawpaw ointment. And, you know, I don't think I've – if you go to – in Australia or New Zealand, you talk to any woman, there's more than likely a small tube of the papaya ointment in their bag. It's amazing how much it sells for, $4, $5 a tube as well. So, you know, these interesting products which are coming out of the South Pacific and Vanuatu, in particular Malekula Island as well, I mean, there's a monetary trail here, which is actually starting, as Andreas is saying, is starting at the source. And one of our concepts is, of course, obviously, with the Malekula farmlets, is that we hopefully would be employing roughly around about 100 people within the next sort of 12 to 18, 2 years period of time. But Andreas, could you tell us a little bit about the organic rating as well that we're chasing for Malekula Farms, so that the listeners can hear a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, sure, Richard. I mean, I totally agree with you that at the end of the day, that monetary trail, as you say, that return of investment for the growers in Malekula on any value-add product can be quite significant in terms of their livelihoods and their, you know, being able to afford the education to their children and then carry on with that and take them to the higher education level. So I think, you know, projects like yourself, that project on Malekula is an absolutely fantastic project, not only in itself because it's agriculture, which is so important to Vanuatu, but also because it's a high-end value add, and it's most probably the first time that the red papaya will be planted commercially in Vanuatu. So the learning benefits from such a project to other people and to other communities is absolutely fantastic. In terms of organic certification, I think that it's quite well known now that the ethical and the organic sector within food has become a critical, well, it's gone way past the niche market in terms of where the product is. The faith that the international customer now has in terms of organic certification and what that delivers to them, the knowledge that that product has been chemical-free, has an ethical basis to it, and can be fully track and trace, is a really important part of the consumer making the choice in the grocery or in any other level of the supermarket. So I think that the way we are aiming to move forward in Malekula and putting organic certification there is going to be critical for the product. But also I think it creates a fantastic management system for local growers because, you know, local agriculture in Vanuatu has been organic. Always has been, and hopefully will be.
Andreas, I want you to hold that thought. We're going to pick up on it when we come back. Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, the Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th, and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemispherespublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Normally, we don't, or at least I don't, mention a particular day or date on this program, but on this particular Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, I am going to say, if you're listening to this first time around, you're listening to it on Independence Day in Vanuatu. And we're going to talk to our guest, Andreas Lombardozzi, and of course, Richard Butler, about that in just a bit. But Andreas, before we go down that particular road, you were talking about certification when I had to cut you off to take care of some business here. So why don't you wrap that up, please?
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Yeah, I was just saying that in terms of the traditional agricultural practices in Vanuatu, they are very organic. You know, in the last 10 or 15 years, there was some sidetracking in trying to get it more commercially viable in terms of the non-organic agriculture. But what we are seeing is a return to those traditional practices. And organic certification, in a way, endorses that. And you know, the way we explain it to growers when they say, but you know, we are organic, is that, you know, you might have a good education, but if you don't have a school leaving certificate, you can't really prove that. And so the organic certification really approves and endorses the traditional agricultural practices, the sustainable agricultural practices that have been, you know, delivered in Vanuatu for centuries. So I think that it's a modern certification that brings benefits to both the farmers and the consumers. There's a premium involved there for the farmers. And I think that it's a critical way forward for Vanuatu agriculture. So it's, you know, we're trying to basically get organic Vanuatu certified as an island group. So we have a 2020 vision for that Vanuatu will be certified organic. And the project in Malekula, which Richard is promoting, is going to be the basically starting point for Malekula, which is agriculturally the most prevalent island in Vanuatu. So it's an exciting project indeed.
Wow, that sounds great. The you know, look, I often tell people that this project that we're doing, the Red Hawaiian Pawpaw or Papaya project, they say, well, to me, you know, have you done it? Has it been done in Vanuatu before? And I say, no, look, this is the first commercial plantation of Red Hawaiian Pawpaw. However, you know, pawpaw grows extremely well. And when I was over there, I went down and saw the local school just down from the farm, and headmaster, Terry. And would you believe it? There he had in his front yard. He had red Hawaiian papaya growing. He didn't know me, and he came out from the gate, and he came out, and he had in his hand a red Hawaiian or a red pawpaw for me, and he also had a couple of oranges. And I actually got this. I've got this on tape. I've actually recorded it. And so what I'm getting at is that, you know, papaya and pawpaw grows, you know, wild in places of Vanuatu, but it's never done commercially. And organically, when you go to the shops here in Australia, you'll find red Hawaiian on the red pawpaw on the shelves, but it's not organic. It's actually been grown under the requirements of intensive growing with the fertilizers and sprays or whatever it may be, and organic, actually here, you know, will basically get as much as a dollar a kilo more or 50 cents a kilo more. I don't really know for sure yet, because we haven't got to that point. But it certainly is going to make our project stand out amongst the others. We've got 300 growers in Fiji, I think it is, and they've just started thinking about doing a little bit organic. There's 2,000 growers in Hawaii. And you know, they export over $27 million worth of papaya, red Hawaiian papaya, into America every year at the moment. $27 million worth, 2,000 growers. So, you know, this concept that we have, although new to Vanuatu, is certainly not new to the world. And we're very pleased to be doing it. And we're very pleased to have you working with us too, Andreas. You are our secret weapon. Now we've told everybody that you're the secret weapon. I think we better make sure they've got to come to me to talk to you. I think that's the only way I can protect myself and keep you on board. But look, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is this Independence Day. You know, like I started the show talking about it, and then Brian brought it up. You know, I said that, you know, the Americans, you know, really do enjoy their Independence Day. Australia, we have Australia Day, which we enjoy enormously. It's got bigger and bigger every year. New Zealand has Waitangi Day, which I come from, and of course that was all about the Maoris chopping down a flagpole every year, but they do celebrate it over there with gusto. What's your take on Independence Day in Vanuatu, if I can ask you that question, Andreas?
Well, yeah, I mean, thank you, Richard. I think it's a fantastic day. I mean, you know, it's Independence Day today, but it's usually a week of celebration. You know, 83 islands, A lot of preparation goes into the day. A lot of dancers come from all over the islands to the main island. There's celebrations in each of the islands. And I think that what I've learned really in the last 2 years is the pride of the Ni Vanuatu in their independence. I think that when they look back in terms of the founding fathers, Father Walter Leeny, he really took the nation to independence from which was a dual condominium between the French and the English. You know, at that stage, what they pride themselves in is the negotiation skills that the then leaders had to bring Vanuatu to independence in 1981. One of the things that I'm always aware of is that it says it takes 50 years from independence for a nation to take hold, you know, until the legal structure is working, the systems are working, the entire movement from a colonial era into an independent and prosperous nation could take up to 50 years. And what we're seeing 34 years after their independence is that it is starting to form in Vanuatu. You know, I think that if you look at, there's some GDP growth there now. I mean, it's always got its issues in terms of being a small island state. But with the technology that's coming into Vanuatu, you know, with the, you know, ICT, the internet, the systems in place, 98% coverage for Vanuatu on 3G, mobile service. We're launching internet cafes in rural areas to bring educational services and information services to growers. If you look at the social media engagement of people in Vanuatu, about Vanuatu, it is just quite phenomenal, the rapid change that we're seeing. In terms of its political system, there's what I call a custom democracy in terms of where the 52 MPs are still, you know, kind of the democracy happens on the floor of parliament. And sometimes it looks a bit different because governments change sporadically and not necessarily through an elective process, but through a motion of no confidence. But in itself, that is still a democratic process. And I'm just seeing Vanuatu really apply itself to engaging with the world in its own right. You know, it's a small nation, and in the past, it's always been the smaller brother of Fiji or Solomon Islands or PNG, but it's really stepping out in terms of its own right and in its own fulfillment of its vision of independence. And I think that's a very exciting process. And so, you know, for me, it's just a beautiful country, and assisting it in this independence process and the democratization process through a strong economy is one of the fundamental things that I'm interested in and that I enjoy through our business and working with you, Richard. So I think it's a great day for Vanuatu. I think that there's a few things that are still in process, but there's a world's first for Vanuatu. You know, they've got the first superannuation and pension funds for smallholder growers. You know, that's a world first. You know, there's a lot of things that they're doing.
Andreas, let me ask you this. In looking at years 35 through 50, what does Vanuatu, the people and the government, what do they have to do either singularly or in combination with each other? What do they have to do to surpass the Fijis and the Solomon Islands as far as the place for people to come and vacation, the place for people to come and live, the place for import, export, the place for telecommunications? It's a tall order, but if that's the way they want to go, what is necessary? What's step number two?
Look, I think that there's that fine balance, you know, between, and I think it's interesting to see that balance. It's politically being played out as well. I think that the former PM, Moana Karkathis, had a strong vision about Vanuatu being the Singapore of the Pacific. Yeah, open borders, trade, ITC, telecoms, you know, the cables being laid, the airports being planned, trade is being boosted. So there's an openness that needs to be achieved for a small nation economy to actually be viable in the modern world, modern economy. If you look at New Zealand, if you look at the traditional models of Holland and even Italy, a lot of import-export, a lot of movement, a lot of capital ownership, and you know, they don't have the population to really drive a lot of stuff. So there needs to be open border process. At the same time, if you look at the current PM, Joe Natuman, he is talking about, you know, going back to the root and being significant within custom and culture. The Vanuatu custom and culture is an amazing thing. And a beautiful lady that is the product director of the Vanuatu Providence Fund, she explained to me that custom is not something that can be explained or written. It's something that the person feels that grows up in the island because they practice it on a daily basis. And that custom and culture, they take that wherever they go, whether they go to the workplace, whether they go internationally, and it's a way of living. And so I think the biggest challenge for them is to find that balance between the openness that is required, the tourism, the people, the money, the investment that's required for a small economy to be successful in the world economy, and the maintenance of the custom and culture that makes the Nibanuaki, the amazingly special people they are.
Right, right.
And that's going to be the challenge for them.
I think many countries are struggling with that right now, as we see over in the Muslim world right now. I want to thank you so much for being on the program again. Real quick, that email address?
Sure. It's Andreas, A-N-D-R-E-A-S, at AfricanPacific.com.
Sounds great. Richard Butler and I will be back to wrap up today's program. Andreas, thank you for joining us on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
From the Swiss Alps to the sunny shores of Aruba, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, and I'd like to thank our guest, Andreas Lombardazzi, joining us today from Australia, talking about his exports and independence for the Republic of Vanuatu. Richard, remaining moments here in the program today, let's go back from Vanuatu to Australia, where, same as here in the United States, the fiscal year started at the beginning of the month. We're pretty close to the end of month one of the fiscal year. How are things looking in your side of the world?
Well, they're looking great. And I just want to thank Andreas. Wasn't that interesting? He's such an interesting guy to listen to. I could have him invite him on the show for a segment every week, and you'd still never hear anything repeated. But look, it's the beginning of the new financial year, and you know, I'm a project manager for different developments, and I'm really, really enjoying doing this job and also promoting it on Overseas Radio Network and through Escape from America magazine or Escape Artists. We really enjoy the link up to be able to let people in the throughout the world, not only just in the our region, but in the northern region, from the Great Wall of China to Paris and throughout the South Pacific. But we've just released in this last month three projects which we've been working on for a long time. Pacific Haven Resort, one bedroom bungalows from $199,950, which are just marvelous investment. I only got the titles from that given to me by the surveyor last week, which is also an Evan surveyor. And then, of course, we've got the project La Plateau, which is the titles there, have just been released as well. We were doing 1,000 square meter blocks where people can build houses on. We can do a house and land package for around about 260,000 AUD, Australian dollar. And, of course, we can do that also on the Pacific Haven Residences lots as well, which they're only 450 square meters in size, but they're right on the water with water views. And then, of course, lastly, which we've released this week, is the Malakula Farmlets, which we had 40 lots for sale in stage one last week. And today we only have 13 left for sale. So we've actually sold 27 of those.
Yes,
27 of them are sold.
Wow. What's making the farmlets so hot?
Price point, you know, they're only $11,950. They've got fabulous returns. People can afford them. And we also provide, the company provides a finance package where you can pay for the block of land, $5,950, have it transferred into your name, and then you pay the $6,000 development cost off over 12 months at $525 a month repayment. And, you know, 12 to 15 months, you're starting getting an income return from your investment on the farmlets.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you can go $5,000 down and then $550 a month for 11 months, 12 months, and it's completely paid off.
Yeah, well, it's actually $5,950, and
okay.
Then it's $525 a month. So you might have lost it in the phone message, but, yeah, that's where it is. And then you own it outright, and you've got an income coming in. And if you buy five of them, you can actually have residency in Vanuatu. If you buy five, one man has actually come back. He bought three in stage one, and he's come back and put an order in for 25 in stage two. Now, what a great income. You know, about 6,000 projected income per farmer per year is our projected income. So, hey, he wants to retire with a bit of style and have plenty of money to buy that French champagne in Vanuatu.
Sounds good. Richard Butler, you can contact him, richard@pacifichavenresort.com, pacifichavenresort.com. My thanks also to Andreas for joining us on the program, our studio producer, Corey Coates, in Costa Rica. I'm Brian Thomas. We will do it again next week, Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
This podcast was produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great-sounding podcasts.